Well, greetings to each one. Good evening and good to be here. A lot going through my mind as I finished sitting there listening to Brother John's message. Just thinking over life and meditating, thinking about what God's design is and what His desire is. God in heaven desires people serve Him with all their heart. And those two lists, one on the right and one on the left, they're two different kingdoms. However, sometimes in the kingdom of God, some of those lists on the right side, they can slip in unaware, and sometimes they're on purpose, and it's our heart to be honest with God. And when those things happen in my life, we can just repent and ask God to help us. So before I begin, I desire to maybe all rise together and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, tonight we bow before you as a congregation, as your people. Lord, as we stand before you, Lord, we tremble. As we sang that word, your word is ever, ever true. It's been the hope of our friends in the past, and it is our only hope tonight. So we rely upon your word tonight. We rely upon the things that you've taught us already. And we pray now this next 45 minutes to an hour that you would open up the word of God, your word, Lord. You'd open it to us as your people that we could learn of your ways. We could grow thereby in the area of young people, young boys, young men, and young women. That we could grow together. They could look past these moments of life, and they could look into the shores of eternity. And they could see the bigger picture. Father, would you do that work in all of our hearts tonight? Father, you know the burden that's on my heart. Lord, help us to cast our burdens upon you. Help us to share with freedom. Help us to know that your will is the only thing that matters tonight. Help us to not say those things that you don't want us to say. And to say those things that are edifying, that'll build your kingdom. We pray for your anointing and your guiding hand upon all of us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Was thinking, very familiar verses. I've been thinking about Psalms 144 for just a few thoughts. Psalms 144, verse 11, it says, "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants growing up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is their Lord." Blessed with those scriptures in my own life. Whose God is their Lord. He's not a God far away. He desires to be our Lord tonight. So we're going to refer to some of those scriptures. Maybe I'll close with some of those. I think I shared with a brother earlier. Sometimes you can maybe feel like I feel like a man with a burden, but I'm really encouraged because God is with us. I'm encouraged as I think back over my life, thinking of just sitting here tonight and thinking of sharing on just courtship and marriage and thinking of all the young children, young boys and girls, youth growing up in our midst, I couldn't help but reminisce over my own life. You know, in September, it'll be 17 years that we were married. I'm humbled at God's great love and mercy and leading us in our family. Humbled. God is a good God. He leads. He don't quit. He continues to lead us. When we continue to strive for that list that's on the left side, He's faithful. He's a faithful God. Blessed is the people. So tonight I was thinking for a title of a message. I know the weekend was revolving around courtship and marriage, but some of the things that have been on my heart is God's plan for man and woman, preparing for courtship, preparing for marriage, not courtship necessarily. So I think Stefan has, if he wants a title, he has it wrote up there. So God's plan for man, God's plan for male, man and woman. I'd like to look at that a little bit. Don't want to capitalize. I shared our own life. It makes me think of our own life. I have 3 points I'd like to look at for that. 3 points. The first one is honoring God's plan for our life. The second one is a burden for purity. And the third one is a burden for commitment and servanthood. And I'm going to try to do that. I know we could talk about many more things. Remember the things that come to my mind? So we want to just look at that. Think of me this evening of honoring God's plan. Honoring God. Respecting God. God has a plan for your life. The first point of honoring God with your life, many of us have heard this over and over and over, is committing your life to God. Surrendering your life to God. Being born anew, being born from above, born from a new spirit. That old spirit is passed away. That old fight that we have passed away. We would say being born again. Being born again. Honor God. God calls every man, every woman to become one of His. To become born again. So I know that's very foundational, but I was thinking about that. We can never go into marriage not being born again, being born of Him, because it's a shipwreck at best. And the reason I say, when I was thinking about this the last few weeks, this is not just adding to our life. And some may be sitting, I just think of young people that didn't grow up in some of my situation, but you grew up in a home, you grew up hearing God's word. But the point here this evening I was thinking about, it's not the amount of problems, it's not the amount of sin that you've committed, but it's the simple problem of going your own way. You just put your head down and you just go your own way. God calls that a great sin. Think about a loving God. He looks down and He sees someone go their own way. So honor God tonight, first of all, by yielding to Him, committing your life to Him, repenting. You know, if you're here, and if we're here tonight, anyone that's sitting with sin, with any kind of sin underground, you'll never go anywhere until we repent and bring it above ground. And you can do that. It's God's desire for you to do that. To dishonor God, to go your own way, is all you have to do. In Psalms 29, verse 2, it says, "Give unto the Lord glory, due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." The word honor in reference to God is to esteem, to honor God, to esteem Him, to esteem. It's a worth, it's a high estimation, a dignity, and the result is a dignity. High rank. Exalted rank. Distinction. A worship paid to a supreme being. That's honoring God. He's supreme. Everything else is really foggy if he's not supreme Lord of our life. Today, our God in heaven is the only one that can call for that level of honor. And he's calling for that tonight. For everyone. That level of honor, 100% yielded to him. Honor God. Thing is, God's plan for man. And we keep thinking of, it's not just a plan that we're trying this evening. It's a plan that's been established way before we was ever here. And the beauty of it tonight, this plan has a blessing. This order of God has a blessing in it. Think of a blessing in your life by following God. We look back over our life in the past few weeks, my wife and I. Different things that we've went through in life. Trials, struggles in life. But we see a blessing by following God. Honoring God. There's a blessing that comes that those that follow the ways of this world do not have that blessing. They have pains that cannot be dealt with. We also have pains. But we have an advocate. We have pain. We have an advocate for our pains. Because we love God. The next point, I was thinking about honoring God. First, that was the first one. The second one is, I was thinking about, this is very practical, but I find it as I observe my own life. Very practical way is to honor God, to honor your God-given authority in your life. Most likely tonight, everyone here in the teens, their God-given authority is their parents. And I realize that I don't know that I have time to go into a lot of different situations. Sometimes there's different things to work through. But however, as my heart looked at, as I thought of these things and I looked at God's word, the call is still honor. It's still honor. The call of heaven is to honor your parents. Honor them. It'll be a blessing. It'll be a blessing in your life. Honor your father and your mother. I know many of you heard this. I've heard that all my life. Honor your father and your mother. I know that this subject, we all know that this subject has been under attack. It seems too simple. It seems too simple for most human minds is to just simply follow and honor. But it seems, as I study my own life and watch the landscape of mankind, that's how simple it is. It's very simple tonight. God's plan for man and woman. I think it seems to be probably one of the biggest areas that will prepare us for marriage. Prepare us for courtship and marriage. It's to learn how to honor. To learn that. It doesn't just happen. We have to learn that. But one beautiful way is when we learn to honor God, no matter if it doesn't feel like it tonight. The downside is tonight that most of your daddies and your mommies are not perfect. And so I realize that could be a war in your hearts. But I would just still like to pick it up tonight as I think about my own life, the desire, as I thought of these things, the desire to share somewhat some personal things as well. But as I walk through my life and I reminisce over thinking of honor and I think of the times in my life where I dishonored my father and I never received a blessing. it's because God never designed to pour out a blessing upon a dishonorable situation. Ephesians 6, verse 2, it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I want to tell us, young men, young women, think about it this evening. You're growing up in a home. You have a father to support you. You have a mother that supports you. You grow up in a home. You live a life that most of the world don't live. You have food and clothing, and you get tucked in at night. And time goes on. I was thinking, I don't know how many nights my dad stayed up at night. But I believe tonight that there are fathers and mothers that stay awake and they watch over little children. They help them out when they're real sick. And sometimes when they're older, they stand up and they walk around their bed when they're sleeping and they pray for them. And they think about eternity. And some of you young men and women don't always think about that. I was there one time. You don't think about that. And a father and a mother many times will watch their children and they'll ask God for direction to make decisions. They'll cry out to God. You may never hear them. They'll ask God, would please help me to give direction in this situation or that situation. And then in those situations, maybe a father will come to you and he'll ask you to change something or do this or not do this and wear this or not go here or go there. He'll very likely do that. He'll ask that from you. And I would say, as I thought of these things, if you're looking for a blessing, the most noblest thing that you can do is to simply move that direction. If you're looking for a blessing tonight, the most noblest thing that you can do is to move that direction. Because for a half a dozen years of my life, I moved the opposite direction. And I pretty near destroyed my life. So the blessing of God lies in this. And your father and mother are not going to be perfect, nor are the people in church. But I believe the call of eternity is to move that direction. It'll be a blessing. This pattern never stops. Honor God. Love God. Fear God. Love the brotherhood. This pattern never stops. This is something I wish I'd have done a long time ago. I wish I'd have done it way, way more in my youth. I started in my teens. But if I could have started when I, you know, there's many 12, 13, 14-year-old children in here. My heart is tonight to prepare, to think about what, you know, you're thinking ahead. I know you are. You're 14, you're 15, you're 6, you're thinking, what am I here for? What's my value? You're very valuable. God has made you. He's called you to fill a place in the kingdom of God. That's what he's called you for. You know, one of those things, I'd like to turn to a verse in Proverbs 1. A few verses in Proverbs 1, verse 8 to 15. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 on through 15. It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be as ornaments of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. And in verse 15 it says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. We could keep reading. And sons and daughters, tonight that's what daddies do. Not an imperfect daddies do that. They'll tell you there's a net right there. Don't go that way. They will say that you're going to get caught. Sometimes in life, I remember being in my teens, and I thought all the older people never had to do that. They never had to ask for help or ask counsel. As I grow older, I see things in my life. I don't have the answers. You know, the same pattern works good for me too. I'm married. Works good for everyone. That same pattern never changes. God honoring the plan of God. To honor God. I'd like to read some curses from Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 27, verse 14 to 18. It says, and the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any grave or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. It says, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, amen. 19, it says, cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow, and all the people say amen. We could continue to read the curses there. And the plea and the burden of God is tonight, if we want to curse, we follow this pattern. We shed light upon a mother and a father, and we just dishonor them, and we put them under the bus. And we will be cursed, the Bible teaches. To me, that's overwhelming. The simplicity of blessing and cursing tonight. If you want a blessed courtship and a blessed marriage, find this pattern. This is a blessing. This works. It'll work when we're not here. It'll work for our next generation. Find this pattern. Be the one to call your daddy. Ask him, what should I do? Most of the time he'll tell you, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Let me think about it overnight. And then when he talks to you, listen to him. Because it works. It works really good. It's not a discouragement. It works. And I don't know why. I still sometimes get why that is at such a war. I think I do. It's Satan. It's the god of this world. It's not because people are so different. I think Satan just despises this beautiful plan. He despises it. God will give direction for your life, and the blessing of heaven will rest upon it. What a beautiful promise. In Proverbs 15:20, it says, a wise son maketh a glad father. I know I'm spending a little bit of time on this subject, but I have to think of that. If we're sitting here tonight, anyone, and you're 14, 15, 16, even up in your 20s, 20, 24, 25, and you know, you look at your father in the face and you ask him a question. A wise son maketh a glad father. And you go against what he asks you to do, and you go against what he wants you to do, and you watch his face fall to the ground. You're on your way for a curse. You're on your way for a cursing. And that humbles me, because except for the mercy of God, we all be cursed. But we have God's ways that we're to lift up. And when I was thinking of these things like that, I feel like that's my goal. I thought of putting a dot on the top corner, and that's what I'm trying to shoot. That's what I'm trying to get to. I'm on that journey, the same plan, the same way that God has. Think of this scriptures in Matthew for some of my last thoughts on honor. I don't want to turn to them. I'll just try to explain to them. It was Jesus was talking to them about they were breaking the commandment of God by following their own traditions. And what they were doing there is they were bringing gifts to the temple and when their parents had need of help. And they made the comment that it doesn't matter about them, we need to give to the temple. And Jesus rebuked them for being dishonorable to their authorities or parents or those over them. Jesus rebuked them and he never gave them a blessing. Sometimes when, I don't know how that works sometimes, but when we're 16 and when someone's 40, when our father's 40, why is it that we think we know more than he does? I did that, but it's not true. Not true. God will honor those that serve him. In John 12:26, God will honor anyone that serves him. I'd like to turn to my next point, a burden for purity. If you're a young man, young woman, been a burden in my own heart as I journeyed along, a burden for purity. In Psalms 19, verse 13, is the question asked, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? And then is the call, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Think of some practical ways to have a pure life as a young man and a young woman. And I was thinking about some of those ways that you can't really read them through the Bible. We have to make some applications as we think of ways to be chaste and pure and to maintain our desire for that goal that we're shooting for. And it becomes very practical. It seems like it has been in my life as a 19-year-old man when I was converted. These are some things that were a blessing in my life, so that when I share these things, have been a blessing. Think of this: to keep a pure, chaste life as a young person. And remember, I know that everything around these things is being shattered down. The walls are coming down continually. But think of this, refrain from long and lighthearted visits with the opposite, male or female. And I just have the word refrain from that, from long and lighthearted visits. Comfort. Long visits create comfort, and then the walls come down. Walls come down, and when they start coming down, things happen that we never want to happen. If you're a young person in here, that's very true. It's true. It's as true as the Word of God speaks it. We don't always understand those things, but our desire is to be obedient. Our desire is to just yield to God. Especially not relating heart to heart struggles and the opposite. And I'm not talking about families, maybe brothers and sisters, but I've some of these things have been a blessing for my life as a young man. Doing these things is a very good medicine for impurities to start in a person's mind. It just feeds it. Sharing heart to heart things with the opposite. Just to know, if I also think it's not a blessing if everybody's just quiet and there's no communication. I think there's good, there's meaningful conversation that you can have with each other. But the Bible gives that direction. In sobriety, always protecting yourself, because you are not theirs, and they are not yours. I've just been thinking about those things. Think about that. If you're a young person and you're not courting and you're not planning to get married, no one owns you. No one. Don't single out each other. Don't draw over to a corner and single someone out and try to build a special relationship. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. And remember, when I'm sharing these things, I have to think, the burden that God has laid upon my heart, that these things don't look like signatured restrictions, but they come with a blessing. And if we would ask for a raise of hands, we want a blessing. You want a blessing? Then don't look at them as restrictions. Look at them as blessings. I do this for God. I had to think, and now this comes into a little bit of 2021. I would say that if you're here, I don't know, I would say this maybe to my own children. And I have little ones, so I need to be reminded of these things when my family grows older. I really need that. But if you're texting someone in a personal text, stop it. Repent from it. Dangerous. It's very dangerous. It's just from my heart. God wants purity. It's not restrictions. Remember, we're looking for a blessing tonight. Reason that some of those things are on my heart. Remember, if you hear that and it sounds kind of like we want to draw back, if you hear that, remember that there are bones up and down the highway of life. Bones with no flesh on it, that if they could stand up and speak, they would say that same thing. But it's too late. We have the beautiful opportunity in our generation to live this out, to live pure. We have it. God, Jesus Christ, is not holding it back from us. He's wanting to give that blessing to lead us into purity. So all those things, if you think of them as a silly thing. It's fleeting. Purity is a priceless position of a mind and a life of a human being. It's a priceless position. And some of us have different testimonies at different levels. But it will always be the heart of God for young men and young women to grow up in purity and come together. All around us is broken down by the fall of man. The blessing of God comes from a young man establishing his goings in the ways of the Lord. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 17 and 18. And some of these verses, I don't desire to pull them out of context from where they belong as far as the scripture interpretation. But I was thinking about these scriptures and thinking about young people. You know, there's times if you're a young person and you're in a crowd or you're in a setting, and you just know by the Holy Spirit that this is out of line. I'm in a situation where it's out of line, and I believe that I'm not going to do justice to use these verses for that. In verse 17 it says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God, saith the Lord Almighty." And again, I don't desire that be out of context. But the burden of God is that many, many, many have tried to think, I can just do it, and I can stay there. But I believe the blessing comes when we refrain, because on the heels of verse 17, 8, and in verse 18, it says, "And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters." Do we want to be God's sons and daughters? When that Holy Spirit conviction presses down upon our hearts, we remove ourselves. We come away from it. Chapter 7, it says, "Having therefore these promises," up further, "Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Because of the promise, therefore, cleanse yourselves. Not because of the restrictions, but because of the promise, because of the blessing. Come back and in return. Get away from it. Try to think, today is the day of salvation. This is not a hopeless day. Maybe there's someone finds themselves in a dark valley, in a pit. Today is the day of salvation. It can become on board, and Jesus Christ can make us whole. That's a blessing. That's a blessing that God wants to do for all of us today. The next point I'd like to look at is to a commitment to serve. The beautiful foundation. A commitment to serve. Remember, a commitment to serve is the pinnacle. You know, if you have a mountain or you have a triangle, and what you're shooting for, think of the dot on the corner and visualize in a visual. The pinnacle, what you're looking for, is service. You're wanting to serve. If the burden of that can come upon your heart as a young man or a young woman, and I believe that I see that. I'm very encouraged with that. We've been recipients of blessings of service, so we're very thankful for that. So, but I can see the enemy likes to destroy it. He likes to move it away. And he likes to make young men think that they need to be bigger than what they really are. And he likes to make young sisters think they need careers. I just know that's how he does. They need to make as much money as their man will make. And just think about those things. See how Satan works. What God's heart is. Everything around us tells us, in order to be somebody, I know it's very practical. You need a nice phone. You need a nice vehicle. You need nice pants. You need nice shoes. And the list goes on. And all that puts new fronts on. You know, it just puts new fronts on as it comes. I want us to think how foolish that is tonight. I really do. How foolish that is. And I mean that from the bottom of my life. The call from the shores of eternity for you as a young man and a young woman is to worship God. Just to worship God. Let your daddy bring you a pair of shoes. That'll be just fine. I wish I'd have did that. You know, I fought that for so many years, and it become a curse in my life. It become a curse. Study that in your life. It's vanity. It's you know, and if you're struggling with that, I understand. God does too. But you don't have to. You can bring it on board and let it be washed away. Not one time, but you can continue that pattern when those struggles come in life. Put it away from us. Heaven is calling. Seek to live a life with an eternal purpose. When you wake up in the morning and these things that I shared are there, passionate on our minds, they're there, they're just burning. Seek to put those things away and seek to seek God. An eternal purpose. How to serve and how to bless. You'll never regret it. One day, you'll look back over life and you'll be so thankful. You'll be so thankful that, yes, that was a blessing. It's an eternal. Make eternal investments. Some of you young men have jobs. And therefore, it creates money. And there's nothing wrong with that. But think about eternal investments. Study your surroundings as young men. Study your surroundings. Watch out. Look out over. You're thinking. If you're a Christian, study your daddy. See his needs. Think of a person maybe going to another country. He's going to get on an airplane. He's going to go preach somewhere. Find a nice, slick way to buy his ticket. You don't have to tell him. Do those things. Those are eternal investments. Eternal investments that'll mean a whole lot more than all these frivolous things that all the world runs after. And then you'll be preparing yourself to get married someday, to continue that service and commitment, and to continue to serve. And if you're looking, the opportunities are endless. Sometimes people say, well, what are we going to do? There's nothing to do. You're not looking. If you look, they're endless. And I say that from a weakness. If I get selfish and I don't see it. But if I'm looking, I can see it. Eternal investments. I use the word money. It doesn't have to be money. It can go help a brother. Go help a family. Young man, young woman. Go help. Those things have been happening. I shared it earlier. I've received some of those things. It's been a rich blessing in our life. But just maybe in some of those areas, you're doing that to encourage you to keep doing that. Keep moving that way. Rather commit to serve. Thinking about that for young men, young sisters, thinking, I don't know where to say young, 13, 14. Don't worry in these years of your life, don't worry so much how you look. Don't worry so much about how you look in the sight of men. But rather, I was thinking of those verses in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It talks about, it says, in like manner also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. There's more to read there, but I was thinking about that. When you contrast those couple verses in light of standing before a mirror and thinking about how you look and how I need to just think about these things, just think about it. And I believe the God of heaven will make it foolish. He will make it foolish. If we can follow these verses, we can follow this pattern, this beautiful plan of God, it'll be a blessing in your life, a rich blessing. You'll find what you're looking for at the end. Modest apparel, in the word shamefacedness, it says bashful in spirit, not forward. I don't know really how to explain that. I just like the meaning. Bashful in spirit, not forward toward men or toward God. Humble. The word sobriety means a calmness. It's free from inordinate affections, inordinate passions. Sobriety. Free from overheated imaginations. Sober. Just free. because our mind is working. And we need help. We need each other. We need prayer. We need to confess our sins. There's times we need to make just, you know, if we think of old time revivals, just the dumping out of our sins and just some repentance. Because you can't go on living that way. None of us can. The devil likes to say, you can do it. You can keep doing it. That guy, I don't know what he's talking about. But tonight, you can't keep going on that way. That's never a preparation for courtship and marriage. God desires to give us that. He desires that. He desires that our daughters, our women, our mothers, our young women would be esteemed highly in the kingdom of God for their sobriety, for their shamefacedness. That's His design. But the world has an abomination for its design. And I know an abomination is a hard word, but it's a forward spirit. It's. I don't know why these things become burdens on my heart, but they're real. They're real, and they will destroy us. They will destroy everyone that follows it. And it's no respecter of persons. I'd like to read a few verses for some young men. Some young men there in Titus. Very familiar verses. Verse 6 to 8. It says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. And I found it very interesting reading those two phrases of Scripture for young women and young men, showing themselves a pattern of good works. That's very simple. Never be afraid of that. Never be afraid of doing what God wants you to do for fear of mockery or for fear of pushback. We do not need to be ashamed to be part of God's kingdom. It has blessings. It has eternal blessings. 1 Timothy 2:9 and 10, we read that. I'd like to turn to Isaiah for a few closing scriptures. Isaiah chapter 3. I'd like to start in verse 16, some of these scriptures. I'd like for us to just think about these as we read them. And before I read these scriptures, I'm thinking, I really want it to draw. I want us to think about our lives, every one of us. Think about what God's heart is for you. Maybe there are some that are doing well and encouraged. I don't want this to be a discouragement that you're doing everything wrong. But think about what God's desire is for you. And let's make our standard God's standard. God's standard is bigger than maybe our church standards at times. God's standard is pure. It doesn't have no motives at all. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16, we'll start reading. It says, moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making tingling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scabe the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will destroy their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cowls and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. Instead of a girdle of rent, instead of a well-set hair, instead of well-set hair, baldness, instead of a stomacher of girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. I know there's a familiar scriptures. This is about the women here. It can sound harsh. It can sound very revealing. But as I read these scriptures in Isaiah, they were penned way before we ever lived. They were penned in that same pattern, continues to move through the landscape of time. We don't have no one that has nose jewels in, very likely. The rings, the changeable suits of apparel. You know, coming back earlier about really caring how you look. Just think about it. Give those things some thought as you desire to grow up into godly manhood and womanhood. And these things were some things that were on my heart. Prepare your heart for marriage, to commit. In these three areas, I'd like to just recap it. Honoring God by giving your life to Him, and honoring your God-given authority. Walk in purity. Take every cost possible to walk in purity. Do that with a committed heart, and commit to serve in your home, in your local church, and I believe those are three areas that I desire to look at, and I pray that it was a blessing. I did share earlier that some of these things were a burden, and I don't mean that they were a burden that I was discouraged with anyone in this room, but they were a burden because I realized that you are the next generation. You're the next generation, and may God give you that desire to live and to have that blessing in your life as you prepare to move forward in life. Lord bless each of you.